The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Isn't it great to have our kids in with us today? Always good. We love having you guys in. I'm going to invite Victoria, if you could make your way up here. Now, everybody, come up, sweet. You going to stand with Mummy? Everybody, this is Victoria Bell. Victoria Bell is our children's minister. We've been doing an outstanding job with our kids. And we are here before you this morning because we've got some fantastic new initiatives and changes that we want to bring to our children's ministry that we would like to let you know about for 2013. So, Victoria, let's start off with, you've come up with a gumball machine that's got jelly beans in.
I have. And I think we'll let the video speak for itself, okay. Rob.
There are 52 weeks in a year. That means that there are 52 weekends that a person could possibly come to church. 52 weeks that a child could come to experience children's ministry at your church. But we know that with vacations, sickness, travel for sports, a perfect attendance record at church is not particularly realistic. According to research by Reggie Joyner, a child in a family that normally attends church is attending approximately 40 weekends a year, 40 hours that a children's ministry has to lead and foster the spiritual direction of your child. 40 hours a year. That's it. However, a parent or legal guardian of that same child has approximately 3,000 hours with which to teach, communicate, and lead. Not 40, 3,000. So who should be in charge of our children's spiritual formation? Deuteronomy 6 says it this way. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Your children's ministry has 40 hours. You have 3,000. 3,000 hours to lead and foster the spiritual direction of your child. So is it possible that what happens at home is more important than what happens at church?
Hours, 40 hours. 3,000 gumballs, a lot of gumballs. We actually dreamed through the week of somehow being able to suspend it from the ceiling and pull the string and then 3,000 gumballs fall on you about here, but we haven't done that, so we went with the video. But essentially, Victoria, why don't you just explain to us a little bit about some of the background thinking to why we're going to what we're going.
Well, over the last 6 months, we've had a children's ministry vision team, which is some of the people you can see on the screen, and we've been meeting and planning and praying a lot about, the new initiatives for next year.
So essentially, as we heard from the video, it's about us realizing that we only have a certain amount of time to disciple our kids. The reality is that parents get way more.
Yep. So one of our key things that'll be different for next year or that we really want to work on and our key thing is to really partner with families. So to link those two key influences of the church and the families in the discipling of our children.
Yep. So that's the heart behind the changes. Now we want to show you a little bit about what it's going to look like, which is exciting. So, Victoria?
So over the next 6 to 8 weeks, we're doing some painting and we'll come up with some new looks for our children's ministry. So it'll be bright and it'll be coloured and it'll be called different things. And that will all launch in February of next year.
That's great. One of the things with our kids' ministry at present is there's all these different areas, beamers, sprinklers, twinklers and sparklers. And in the second service, it is sprinklers, actually, because we combine the two, and live streamers. And one of the things that we've wanted to do is go, let's call everybody the same thing. And so when a child gets asked, what are you, then this will be their response. So if a child's involved in our church, that's what they'll be known as. They'll be known as a live streamer, which is exciting. Now, what else? What else do we want to let everybody know
about? So we're in the process of creating a new parent room that will be hopefully a bit bigger and a bit more functional for you. And we're going to call that the family for sure. And that will be for our youngest babies. And then our next area will be Water's Edge. So when you walk down the hall to Children's Ministry, that will be Water's Edge. And that will be for all our children who are preschool aged up to pre-primary. And then out in the hall, we will have Discovery Cove, which will be for our year 1 to 6s, so our primary school aged children.
Fantastic. And we are also going to be taking our kids' ministry check-in into the 21st century. And you should have seen all of the big kids in the front. They were like, yeah, computers. What are we going to do, Victoria?
Instead of standing there and ticking your child in and us printing all the stickers beforehand, we'll be going to an electronic check-in system. We'll be doing that over January, and that will mean you'll get to a computer and check in at a computer, and it will print your sticker for your child and also a sticker for you so we know who you are when you come to collect your child.
Fantastic. And curriculum? Are we changing curriculum?
We are changing our curriculum, and we're using some curriculum that's been developed by this group called Orange. They're really big on creating that connection between the church and the family. They've got awesome resources as well as a curriculum. They've got iPhone and Android apps as a parent that can tell you what we've done on Sunday and some ideas for at home during the week. And, yeah, it's just an excellent curriculum.
So you mean to say I can grab my iPhone at night with my boys as I pray them off to sleep, and I can actually look at what we've been doing and initiate a conversation around those things?
Yeah, it's got some cues for us for in the car or around a meal or at bedtime or bath time, depending on the age of your kid, what would be appropriate.
Fantastic. And I was just going to explain the Orange concept, but I forgot the colours. So it's blue and...
No, orange. No. Blue, red for family.
Yep.
And yellow for the church. So yellow, the light of the world, the church, and red for the love and the heart of family. And those two colours combined is where we get the orange from.
Beautiful. Glad you know your colours. Now, are you going to do this all? And we can just sit back and see it all happen?
No. Everyone, as they arrive today, should have got a children's ministry document. And in that, we've got a little bit of an overview of what it will look like next year. But also in it, we've got all the roles that we would love people to take, roles of leadership in our children's ministry area. Most of them look the same as things that we've had before, but there are a few roles that would look a little different next year. So we'd love you to take some time to pray and consider this and let us know that you'll be signing up for a year for children's ministry.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Victoria. It's awesome. Now, we're going to start seeing some changes as of sort of February.
It should all be starting in the first week of February. Fantastic. We might get electronic check-in going a little earlier.
Sounds good. Awesome. Well, church, children are a massively important part of our church here at LifeStreams. And the reality is that they were very important to Jesus as well. And we read in Luke 18, verse 16, it says, Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And our dream, what we want to see, is a church that consistently points our children to Jesus, and a church that partners with parents in helping our young people, helping our children find and follow Jesus. And so we need prayer as we do that together. And I've asked Nev. Nev's one of our servant leaders, and he's going to set this new vision apart and also pray for our kids and pray for a couple of other things. So thanks, Nev.
Thanks, Rod. Yeah, let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for the joy and the blessing that children are to our families and to us as a church. And Lord, we really want to cherish that. And Father, I'd like to set apart Victoria and the people that she represents. Thank you for their faithfulness in their call. And Lord, we just want to continue to support them and work with them in their calling. Yep. And Father, we also want to be true to the word that Rod has just shared with us about our desire to be disciples and to bring little ones to you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we have a lot to learn from our children because the kingdom of heaven requires a childlike faith.
Yep.
And we just pray that we will learn that lesson as well. Father, I just pray that you will continue to protect our children's ministry, that we can continue to provide an environment that is safe and loving, and that will be true to reflect the truth of your word and the truth of yourself to them. And Father, at this point, we'd just like to just pray for the wider family, for the niece of David and Rahel McPherson. Father, as she even now battles for her life, I just pray that for your divine intervention, that you would, your healing hand would be upon her. And Father, I just pray that we would stand with the parents of baby Rose.
Yep.
Thank you now in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Nev. Thanks, Victoria. Let's thank them. I'm excited. It's going to be a great new season of children's ministry in the life of our church. And can I urge you to pray for the children's ministry leaders, pray for our kids, and also pray about your involvement in serving our children in the life of our church. Today's message, I'm going to share just in a few moments. I would love you to grab your community life, your Bible, and you'll see that there's an outline in there. And it's my privilege this morning to continue, just very briefly, the series entitled The Bethlehem Road. And I'm specifically going to look at the good news and the greatest gift foretold and fulfilled in the gospel. So we're ready to go. I have a confession to make. I love good news. Anybody else in the building love good news? Good news is good. What is the best news you've ever received? Just have a quick think. It's the best news. I remember back about 11 years ago when I sat across the table with my wife Leanne and the doctor said to us, "You are going to be parents." And I thought to myself, man, that is awesome news. That is good news. Then, 9 months later, we had Lewis, and Lewis was the fulfillment of that good news. I also remember a couple of years on, during our Leanne's second, well, the birth of our second son, Noah, there were complications, and I've shared some of that before, but he was born, and the staff, the nurses, the doctors were working sort of frantically over him, and then they whisked him away. And I remember just sitting there as the sort of the door shut, thinking, gee, I hope he's going to be okay. And you can imagine there were a few prayers said at that moment. And then you can also imagine the relief when the doctor came back into the room and said to us both, "He's going to be okay." And I went, wow, that is good news. The other thing that I also love is receiving good gifts. Who loves a good gift? It's unreal, and we're coming to a time where we will exchange gifts soon. What is the greatest gift that you have ever received? Have a think about that. What is the greatest gift you have ever received? And I want you to turn very quickly to the person next to you and share that. And I want to say we can be a little bit material here this morning, okay? Because we all know what the right answer is, Jesus, and, you know, you, honey, you are the greatest gift. No, I want us to be material, so let's share for two ticks. What is the greatest gift you've ever received? Okay, lots of good gifts around the building. During the week, instead of me telling a story, I went around to the staff and I said, "Hey, tell us about the greatest gift that you've ever received." And I went into Mel's office and I said to her, "Mel, it can't be Darren, okay? It's got to be something different." And this is the story she told. And I love it.
It wasn't necessarily the greatest gift I've ever received, but one Christmas when I was about 12, I really wanted a watch. And I can't quite remember if I knew I was getting it because I'd been snooping and seen it. But somehow, I really wanted this watch. Christmas morning, presents were opened, no watch. I thought, oh, maybe I'll get it later. Lunch went by, no watch. And then I put the socks on and Mum said, what's wrong, Melissa? I said, oh, I thought I was going to get a watch. Oh, Mum says, oh. And she rushes off and she comes back with another present. She'd wrapped it months before and forgotten all about it. So then I got my watch.
Hey, how good's that? I love the kids, don't you dare snoop, okay? But I love how she snooped and I love how she sooked when she didn't get it because she knew she was going to get it. And then as mums do, they notice these things and she ended up with her gift. Good story. Well, this morning, church, I want to focus on two aspects of the children's item in my message. And just make notice of our road sign here today. Fantastic. If Tam, I don't think Tam's here, but she's done a great job doing all these. But I want to focus on two things. The angel, okay, and the gift. The angel and the gift. And kids, I think there's still a few kids in the building with us. You've got crayons and some paper. Feel free to draw your angel or draw a gift or whatever you hear out of this story, because I'm wanting us to read Matthew 1. So if you've got your Bible, I'm going to ask my niece Alice to come up. We've got all our kids in with us today. And do you want to come down here, sweet? We'll sit on the edge of the stage. And I'm going to get you to read this, okay? This is Matthew 1.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary, and pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, was faithless to the Lord, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because she what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The
virgin
of
will conceive and
give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did want the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not
Well, that's kind of an adult word, honey. We'll skip over to that. Their marriage
until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Jesus. Well done, sweetheart. That was the best Bible reading we've ever had. Fantastic. Thank you, Alice. Wow, what a story. What a story. A lot of amazing things in that story. But today, I want you to know that the good news and the greatest gift was foretold many, many years before it was fulfilled in the Gospels, fulfilled by Christ in the Gospels. So let's, first of all, let's have a bit of a closer look at verse 21 and 22, and this is our angel part of our message. And you would have read there, but after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Spirit, and she will give birth to a son, and you to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, what I want you to do is to come with me to Psalm 130, verse 7. And it says this, it says, "Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." Now, that verse, according to scholars, some scholars believe that the Psalms were written between 1,000 and 500 years before the very first Christmas. And there is certainly messianic suggestions or themes in this verse. You can see it. And it says there, "The Lord, because of his great love, will redeem his people for all of their sins." Now, let's fast forward 750 years, let's say roughly that, to this story that Alice has just read out in the Gospel of Matthew. And this time, God uses what? An angel. He uses an angel as a divine messenger to convince Joseph, and I believe to convince us, that Jesus is the good news that we have been waiting for. Now, Jesus is good news. He's good news because sin for us is a real problem. It's a real problem for us, and it's a real problem for the world. Just take a look around. Just take a simple look around. And unfortunately, it spares none of us. None of us in this room. None of those of us who walk on this earth. In Romans 3:23, it says this. It says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And essentially what that means is that because of this thing called sin, it separates us from having relationship with God. And in Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. Now, that's not great news. I don't know about you, but the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Church, the bottom line is that we need saving from our sin. And this morning, as you sit there, I wonder whether you have dealt with your sin. That day, 2,000 years ago, an angel proclaimed good news to Joseph, and I believe to all people, even us, that a Saviour will be born, his name will be Jesus, and he will save his people from their sin. That is great news. That is good news. Now let's take a look at the gift, a second part of our message. Let's look at the gift of God. The gift of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew 1:22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Verse 23. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, the prophet they're referring to in this scripture in Matthew is the prophet Isaiah. And scholars believe that Isaiah was written between 740 and 680 years before the very first Christmas. Let's go to Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7 says, "Then Isaiah said, 'Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, and the virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel.'" One of the clearest prophetic writings in the Old Testament that points us to the very first Christmas. A virgin born boy who will be called Emmanuel, God with us. I don't know about you, but that is pretty cool. That is pretty amazing. The good news of Christ redeeming our sin and the greatest gift of life, Jesus, God with us, was foretold hundreds of years before it actually happened. That's pretty cool. So what? What does knowing this mean, or how does knowing this and looking at this impact us today? Well, firstly, I think that the fact that these things were foretold 100 years before their fulfillment gives the coming of Christ, gives the actual Christmas event a boatload of credibility. It's something that if we haven't, we should sit up and take notice of. It's incredible. The second thing is that I want you to take a look around you. The fingerprints of the first Christmas event are all over our community. They're all over our city. They're all over our nation and the world, some 2,000 plus years on. Jesus, whether you like it or not, is the centerpiece of civilization. His story, Emmanuel's story, has shaped our history, and it has the potential to transform, redeem, reshape your story if you receive the good news and you receive the gift of Jesus Christ. You see, at the end of the day, good news is not good news unless you need it. And a great gift isn't a gift at all unless you receive it. And in John 1:12, it says this. It says, "Yes, to all, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Can I urge you, church? Can I urge you, friends, this morning to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior of your sins? I want to finish up this morning with a video. You may have seen this video before. It's taken from a sermon by the name of Dr. S.M. Lockridge, an African-American man, preacher. And he describes Jesus in a way that is far better than I ever could. But he describes Jesus in a way that inspires me to want to know him more. So let's have a look at this great video.
The Bible says, "My king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords." That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't hang him. And the grave couldn't hold him.
Awesome. That's my king. I love how he spends a few minutes describing the greatest gift the world has ever seen. And then he says, he's indescribable. It's so true, isn't it? Indescribable. Well, church, the coming of Christ was foretold many, many years before it happened. And here we are 2,000 years on from that very first Christmas. His story is still alive today, and he wants to be a part of yours. I simply want to leave you with that question. Do you know him? Do you know him? The great thing is that if you want to know him, you can this morning. You can by simply believing and receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you want to respond this morning, there's a couple of ways that you can respond. And the first way is, in your community life, you would have received a care card. And on the edges of our rows are pencils. And I'd encourage you to just take a moment to fill those out. If you want to respond in any way, if you want to find out more about Christ, you want to give your life to Jesus maybe for the first time, if you indicate that, one of our team will follow you up. You also might want to be obedient in the waters of baptism, and that's something maybe you've been inspired through Ben this morning. The second way is at the end of our service, our prayer partners, our servant leaders, and our team of pastors will be available to pray with you. And so if you want to chat more about Christ, you might want to pray about something, then there's nothing that would thrill us more than to be able to stand with you after the service and share more about our King with you and to pray with you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are good news and you are the greatest gift the world has ever seen. Thank you so much for saving us from our sin, and thank you for being Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, I pray for those who are responding to you right in this moment, maybe some of them for the very first time. I pray that you would give them the confidence to tell someone so that they can be prayed for, can be given a Bible, and be helped in their relationship with you. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you for being a part of our special family service this morning. I encourage you, prayer, and God bless as you go, and make sure you enjoy the rest of your day. God bless.